Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I am an actress, writer, singer, codependent, returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn but are so grateful that we did. So, ever had to cancel busy and important plans last minute? Yeah, me too. Give yourself a break. My guest comedian Abigail and I are discussing all this and more today.
Okay, so it is Tuesday, the 19th of September, 2023. What a day it was. That was a very strange day for us because the Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends team, I think we had something like 4 recordings booked in that day, didn't we, Jesse? And I think then we ended up only doing one because it was a day when there were a load of mishaps and some things happened, and one of those things we're about to discuss, because my guest today is now making a return, because on Tuesday the 19th September 2023 something happened, and so my guest Abigail, why do you think you've got no friends?
Because I cancel podcast recordings. I think within an hour of the podcast recording, like, I felt bad because I knew you got a studio because of my cat allergy. I was like, they fucking paid for a studio. This is no time at all. They're not going to find anyone else within like the time that I've canceled. Also, because it was booked through my agent, I have to tell her and she has to tell you,
which is the worst.
Mm-hmm. Like, usually I like my agent to like be the buffer, but for this, I'm like, I need to send the voice note. I need to, like, so they know something actually happened.
Yeah.
But okay, so we got to cast back a little further in that week. On the 14th of September, me and my co-host of my podcast, Neurodivergent Moments, found on all podcast platforms.
Found on all streaming platforms.
Co-hosted by Joe Wells, had our first ever show at the London Podcast Festival.
Sure.
And that day, my partner had been feeling weird. Tom is my partner's name, and mm-hmm. they were feeling weird, and they were like, finally, like, I'm just going to go to the hospital. And if you're willing to stay at A&E, like, something's up, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, do you need me to cancel my night? And he's like, no, it's fine. I'll go to the thing. And I went, and I was a star at the London Podcast Festival. And then afterwards, I went out for drinks. Because I was at the London Podcast Festival and I was a star. And I kept messaging him, to be fair, I kept messaging him to be like, are you still at the hospital? Do you need anything? How's everything going on? He wasn't answering me. Now, the hospital we go to has very crass Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Crass. It makes crass. It sound like it's naughty.
Very crass.
It's crass. It's
the homepage is like Youporn.
Yeah. Just crass. Very bad Wi-Fi. So, but it got late enough because he went in the middle of the afternoon. It got late enough that I was like, he must have gone home, gotten meds, gone home, is passed out asleep. And I get home very drunk. Mm. he's not there yet. And I finally got a text from him being like, I've been here all day. I haven't eaten. Can you bring any food? And I'm like, I'm on it.
Yeah.
So I stole some Snickers from the green room at the London Podcast Festival.
Well, you're a star.
Because I'm a star and I deserved all the Snicker bars.
Obviously.
And so I opened the fridge and the only thing there was like a bottle of sparkling water that has been open for a while, so clearly flat. So I put that in my bag and I have the fun size Snickers and I go up to the hospital and I just walk in. I find him like in a bed and I walk in and he's just like, you are hammered. And I'm like trying to hold it together and be good girlfriend. But what wound up happening was he had had a bladder infection, like a UTI, which, by the way, that's feminism done right, is when they take your problems off of you and have them for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He definitely got it from having sex with me.
Yeah.
And
too much, too good. So happens.
And then he got some IV drips and it looks like he was doing better. And on the day we were supposed to record, he was like, I'm still not feeling right. And I was like, well, I have another podcast to record because I'm very famous because I've done my podcast at the London Podcast, but now I'm in desire.
I'm in high demand.
And I was like, he was like, I'm going to go to doctor. And I was like, okay, do you want me to go with you? And he's like, absolutely not. And I was like, great. I'm going to go record this fabulous podcast. And we live like a 10-15 minute walk from the surgery. And he called me. And he's like, actually, can you come? I kind of had like a bit of a wavy moment and I've collapsed on the street. So he talked to a builder to ask a builder to phone an ambulance. But the builder was very confused and couldn't manage that. And Tom kind of like got himself together and got himself to the surgery. But I then messaged my agent who messaged you to cancel because Tom was like, can you come with me? And I was like, yep, I'm on it. So I had to cancel our podcast because I was a bad girlfriend getting drunk after my podcast. So now I was like, okay. So yeah, I don't think it's a UTI anymore. He's been on and off meds now since September. He's
fucking
still
hell.
Sick. He's been on so many antibiotics. I think it's going to like long-term affect his ability to take antibiotics. Like, he's just been a wreck of a person. But I think he's getting better. He went, now we are November 8th, I think. Is it the 8th? It's the 8th.
I believe it's the 8th.
Yeah. On November 8th, he was able to go and do an overnight. My boyfriend's a cinematographer and go out and film something. The last 2 days, he hasn't been home, which is why I haven't talked to anyone. When Tom leaves, I fester.
Yeah.
But so that's why I missed it, is because my boyfriend collapsed in the street and I had to go and help.
Well, all I can say is apology accepted.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, like, the toss up between coming and sitting. And actually, no, because the reason we booked a studio is because Mickey, Michael the cat, who listeners are very aware of, he plays a big role in every recording, mainly because he just, like, he'll meet you and then want to sit on your face within 2 minutes.
Yeah, which is what I want from most men, but not your cat.
Just like his mother. And do you know what? It was fine because we messaged the studio and went, there's been a problem. I can't remember how much of a stink we sort of caused. I think we might have slightly embellished what was going on.
No, boyfriend collapsed in the street.
Ew, my God, there's
medical
blood everywhere.
Emergency.
and then we got a refund, so it was fine.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
Absolutely
good.
Fine.
Now so I don't feel bad about it at all.
And you should not.
All that money.
In the least.
Hasn't been lost.
And do you know what? I think I was very tired that day anyway. So do you know what? It was all fine. It was all fine in the end. Is Tom prone to medical emergencies or is this?
I don't know what's going on. I will say Tom had COVID and he's wondering, like in 2021, and he's wondering if stuff is stemming from like a long COVID thing.
Sure.
He's kind of always in pain. We've cut out dairy. We've cut out wheat. I am miserable.
Yeah.
And that's affecting my mental health, but nonetheless. It always headachy, always with stomach problems. And now with, and Tom is autistic as well, because we love to pile it all on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And ADHD. He hates it when I don't tell people he has ADHD as well.
Yeah.
And this bladder infection, UTI, just really was the cherry on top that kind of disabled him for like a month pretty much. So like when Tom gets sick, he gets like sick. Whereas I can force myself to power through. Although don't know if one always should do that. You know?
Sometimes it's best not to. It's difficult finding that balance because there have been moments when I've gone, you know, this is fine.
Yeah.
And then ended up in a hospital.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what happened to him. Because then later on, he thought he was fine, went to go do a shoot in Germany, landed down in Germany, realized he was still sick, had to be rushed to a doctor in Germany.
Oh,
doctor
fuck.
Gave him an ultrasound, gave him more pills.
Mm.
German pills.
German was
efficient pills.
Yeah. So bad. Fix him like that.
Yeah. And then had to be flown back early from that shoot because he pushed himself too far.
Yeah.
And yeah. But it is, especially since like the pandemic, like I had a cold the other week.
Mm.
And it's that thing of like, do I still go and do stand-up comedy with a cold? Like,
yeah.
You know, because I feel like anymore, like, I just shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I can power through, but also, like, I just feel like we're all touching the mics and it's a small, you know, it's a closed environment.
Mm.
But no one else is taking those precautions.
It's weird. It's weird because I feel also in the UK, there's like, I don't know, when I was growing up, if I got sick, unless I was like either throwing up so much that I couldn't communicate or had like lost a limb, which hasn't happened yet, like it was, my mum would not think I was sick.
Yeah.
It took a lot. I remember there was one time when I was at school. Because I was at boarding school and every so often...
You're one of the boarding school people.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of boys who went to boarding school, but not a lot of women. I have questions.
Oh my gosh, please. You can ask me any question. I will tell you so honestly.
Do they haze you as bad as in the boys' schools?
It's... Yeah, but they just don't stop. It's like it's not a hazing period. It's just like you start and then it never stops. It's so bad.
Is there a lot of like weird sexual energy?
No. And if there was,
then what's the point?
I know. I was, because people are, this is one of the main questions. People are like, oh my God, like, was it, I've heard stuff about the door handles. I've heard stuff about.
Door handles?
Yeah, apparently.
Creative.
I know, right, like, get what you can. But, a lot of like, oh yeah. Well, you were going down on each other in dorm rooms. And I was like, well, I wasn't invited. Like, I didn't see it. I did not once did I see that happen. And so disappointing, really, for everyone.
Yeah.
But if you got, like, really sick, they sent you home.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a golden ticket. Like, we were sort of really gunning to get really sick at one point. And I got flu. And I remember the nurse, sister redacted, called my mum, and I remember my mum being like, does she actually have flu, or is she, you know, my mum's very like that. And eventually, like, sister redacted shit, managed to convince my mum to come and get me. And I remember going outside and lying on the sports pitch thinking, if someone ran at me with an axe right now, I wouldn't be able to move.
Oh wow.
For doing that. And then my mum again being like, you're fine, going to bed when I got home, and then having such a high fever that I was delirious and thought that death was coming to get me.
Jesus!
the figure of death was coming to get me. Being completely, completely delirious and waking up with my mum being like, oh, shit. Oh, damn. Something is wrong with this child.
I love that. Is she really?
Is she really sick?
She's gonna die.
Yeah,
like, so you went to a Catholic school?
No. But then we just had... the nurses were called sister.
Okay.
Sister so-and-so, sister so-and-so. But, you know, it wasn't Catholic. It wasn't that bad.
As a child who grew up in rural America, the idea of going to boarding school always, like, fascinated me. And I always wanted that for myself, you know. And there's not many, like, there's some on the East Coast. Where I grew up, there's no boarding school.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Greenville, Ohio, which is an hour north of Dayton, which is our biggest city. And Dayton is not a big city.
Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Home of IBM. But yeah, so, but then, and then of course, you know, I was what in the sixth or seventh grade, so like 12, 13 when the Harry Potter books came out. Yeah. So rest in peace. God, I feel for every millennial who has the Deathly Hallows tattoo. Like, really, when so she came out as such a transphobe, that was my first thought, was how many people I know with a Harry Potter tattoo.
I know at least two.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Yeah.
But I digress.
Yeah.
I desperately thought it'd be so cool to go to boarding school. And then I have talked to my British friends who have gone to boarding school. Mm. And bullet fucking dodged.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
wowee.
My God. It is like... I cannot begin to describe what it's like being 11 years old and put into a school where we weren't allowed to speak to our parents for to anybody on the outside.
Why did you? Why were you sent? Were you a highly academic or
no?
Did
I
your
asked my mum.
You wanted to go?
No. Like I asked my mum why. I remember just being like, why? I have not that long ago. Like, I think kind of when I was going through the breakdown, I was just like, why? And she said, it's just what we always did.
Oh,
which is the mentality of many a conservative parent. Going, that's just what happened. Mm. And you would never consider anything otherwise.
Yeah.
There's not, that. It feels like there's not much catering to the individual. It's funny because I think there's a lot of people... We talk about boarding school, talk about private school in general, talk about like the privilege of it and being like, oh my God, you should be so grateful for what you were given. Oh, like I once had an English lesson where the teacher for the entirety of the hour and a half that we were sat in there talked to us about how she just found out she couldn't have children. We were meant to be doing Hamlet for A-level.
Similar vibes.
The education was not good. Like it was not, I'm like, it's... It was awful. Awful. I don't know how we got onto boarding school. I was just mainly
because you mentioned boarding school and then I had questions.
Yeah, yeah. Have you got any more questions?
This is what I like to do is take over someone's podcast and interview them.
I love it. I think like, because it was that kind of generation of Harry Potter and the rest of it. And people are like, oh, boarding school sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Also, there's no defense against the dark arts.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular belief. There is no sorting hat. I just want to talk briefly, because I'm guessing you are a Harry Potter
fan. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for using the word fan, because I am too, and it's really hard, obviously. Because
I finally threw away my t-shirt that I got when the books came out that had the Harry Potter, not Daniel Radcliffe, but the actual artwork on
it. It's better.
And I had a t-shirt that I've just held on to
for
years and years and years because someone pointed out that it was like, you probably can't get those anymore because it will now have Daniel on it. Mm. And
say Daniel.
Like, we know each other, you know. But I finally just threw it out because I was like, one, I'm never going to wear it again.
Yeah.
I'm never going to try to sell it. I'm just, I finally just donated it. Or gave it away or threw it out. It probably had moth holes in it. Mm. But it's just like, we just can't have nice things. Just can't.
Just can't have nice things. As a generation, we just can't have nice things. But there is so much about Harry Potter. Sometimes I sit at night and stew about it. And one of those things I'm just going to go into right now is the fact that so there are eight people in Gryffindor in Harry's year. There are eight people. There are three girls. Oh, no, there are four girls and four boys or something. Wait, no, fuck, let's get this right. There is Lavender Brown, there is Parvati Patel, there is Hermione Granger. Those are the three girls. And then...
Wait, aren't the Patel sisters twins?
Yeah, but Padma's in Ravenclaw.
Oh, okay. Well, you are more of a fan than me. I'm going to just say that right now.
And then there's Neville. There's Neville, Dean Thomas.
Jordan?
No,
Jordan's friends with the Weasley twins.
No, there's Ron, Harry, Seamus... Not Seamus.
Seamus.
What the fuck is
again?
Seamus.
I think it's Harry, that simple.
Harry, Ron, Seamus, Dean Thomas, and Neville. Yes, there are 8 people in Harry's year in Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Let's say that there are 40 to a year group. That would sort of make sense if there are, you know, there's 8 people, and maybe it sort of averages around 10 in each house. What if 40 11-year-olds arrive and they're all fucking Ravenclaws? That house point system is stupid. How? It's not fair.
And then are you saying that the sorting hat also has to think of numbers? So
yes.
At the end, it's just like, sorry, you're in Hufflepuff.
Sorry, I know that you're a Slytherin, mate. I know you're a Slytherin, but I can't put another one in there. There aren't enough beds.
Yeah.
The house elves will be overworked. Also, the house point system, it just like, also the Quidditch team. Mental. How are they doing that? It makes no fucking sense.
That does bring up the point, too, of like, if there's 8 people in Harry's year, so average 10 people a year, how are there so many kids at that fucking school? Like,
there's
the stands
thousands.
Are full.
Yeah.
It's a small
thousands.
Village.
There's, okay, so let's say there are 40 people in Harry's year, okay? But, like, he doesn't meet Hannah Abbott until he's in 5th year. What a self-centered piece of shit. He hasn't looked over his shoulder in Herbology once.
Listen, he's got the Dark Lord to fight every single year of his education.
Oh, maybe it's not.
By the way,
Susan
we
Bones.
Are not endorsing the books at all as we talk deeply about them. You shouldn't read them anymore. If you do, buy them at a charity shop. Good luck. I can't find them.
Maybe it's Susan Bones, not Hammer Abbott. But also, there are, what, say, you know, 65 people in all of Gryffindor Tower. He doesn't meet Cormac McLaggen until fucking Half-Blood Prince. So the whole thing is fucking nuts. The magic is the least nuts thing about those books. That's the most plausible stuff. Fun little fact,
because I've been to Warner Brothers Studio where they filmed it out in the sad city right outside of London. I can't remember.
You've gone to Leavesden Studios, where it's like, is it not Watford? Is it Watford?
Yeah, it's Watford. Is it Watford? I think it is Watford.
In Watford.
And so I've seen the actual dorm rooms, and they were so small. The beds were so small that that's why in later books, whenever they do, later films, whenever they have shots of the dorm room, they're all sitting on their beds
because their
beds are as long as like they're like this.
They're teeny tiny. That's my story about being sick at boarding school.
Yeah, that's great.
We talked about this very briefly before. Do you say when you get sick, you just kind of power through it?
I mean, I tried to, like I said, I was sick this last week, and I did take some time off. Which my partner was like, you just got to. Because I remember last year I had a cold around Christmas, and it was like those few, I'm a stand-up comedian, listeners, and those few shows right before you go on Christmas break.
Mm.
And I messaged my live booker at the time. I was like, I have a cold. I don't know what the etiquette is now. Do I keep them? Do I throw them out? And she's like, I don't think anyone's learned their lesson. So if you want to do them, you can do them.
Mm.
And I said I would. And then like on Saturday, I had 2 shows, one in the afternoon. And that Saturday I woke up and was just crying because I felt so sick.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of like I get like colds, I get flus. I rarely get like stomach sick. Like I rarely get the vomities or like diarrhea or anything like that. So like if I stand still and don't move, I don't look sick.
Mm.
But like, you know what I mean? Like, you know how some people it's like, you look fucking rough.
Yeah,
I'm like, well, with enough concealer, we can.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So, yeah, I power through less than I used to, put it that way.
Right.
I think this has come up more than once on your podcast, but the pandy really set some boundaries in my life. Once you're forced to stay home, you realize quickly what is no longer you are willing to go out for.
Yes.
And one of my, and I've said this on my own podcast before, but one of my rules of stand up now is don't take gigs that make me mad. Don't take gigs that make me sad.
Oh, cute. Oh.
Which is like if there's a gig in the middle of, you know, nowhere, Shire, and it's like $100, but it'll be a 8-hour round trip. And I'm just like, I'm not going to do that. Because it stresses me out too much. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I answered your original question, but that's my rambly answer.
I have a very weak stomach. Since my eldest brother got married...
You've been throwing up ever since.
Oh my.
What a wretched God. Woman.
No. What a, like, but it was so bad. The night before his wedding, there was like this sort of family dinner. And for some bizarre reason that I cannot understand, we were given like salmon mousse. Yeah. Already weird.
The 1980s called. They want their food back.
That's my fucking favorite thing to say. Someone mentioned SARS the other day. I was like, oh my God, 2004 called. It wants its pandemic back. It holds up, that joke.
Yeah. Never not correct to say.
But my step, and we sort of were given like bowls to share, and my stepdad and I were sharing one. And late that night, sorry, I feel really sick. Anyway, I was up all night. My brother Jamie and I were sharing a room, and he said it on his own podcast. It was like she was getting murdered in the bathroom, and get being like, "This isn't right. This isn't right." And was just like horrendously sick. And I remember being like, "Fuck! I just hope that Alexander hasn't got this. Just let Alexander be okay. I will take this bullet for him. Just let him be." But I was so sick. And then, since then, if I feel like I'm going to be sick, I'm going to be sick. There's nothing that's going to stop me. Sort of like Beth in Little Women, you know, when she gets scarlet fever the first time, and it's like, well, she had weakened her soul forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what it's like. It's like I got sort of cholera.
See, I don't really throw up that. In fact, I have always been someone who has been very proud of myself. I've never thrown up due to overconsumption of alcohol, bar one time. One time has happened. And before then, it has never happened, and it hasn't happened since, and probably won't. Some people say you're not drinking enough. don't want to brag. Your girl doesn't throw up, but she does black out. I wish I threw up. I would remember more of my mistakes. The one time I did, my boyfriend had a harrowing pandemic, lost both of his parents, cancer, not COVID, 6 months apart. They were not married. And dad, so we lost Nikki, his mom first, and his dad was living in Spain.
Oh my.
And we knew Peter wasn't doing all right, but he definitely, being an older gentleman of his generation, really, really glazed over what was going on with him.
Sure.
And then 6 months later, he when he's able to fly back, obviously didn't get to be around his children during the mother's, Nikki's death, which was heartbreaking for everyone involved. Came back to the UK to get some treatment, and that's when we realized how sick Peter was. Lung cancer. And he died in, I don't think it's called hospice here, but something like one of those places where you go, where you
end
know,
of life care,
yeah. Deathbed situation where we were all around him. I wish I could tell you that whole story if you want, because it's strangely, hilariously dark.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he passed on. We went back to Tom's aunt's house and the rest of the family met us, and because it was still kind of like pandy time. So we were all outside in the garden, just drinking as the British do after death, just getting shit faced. Allegedly, I might have had some weed.
And allegedly. Yeah, check the record.
Yeah, and so maybe allegedly passing that around. So we are now high and we are now drunk and we are sad.
Yeah.
And you're laughing and you're crying and all of this stuff. And I got to a point where I was like, I don't feel well. So I went into the barn, which had the most disgusting toilet, which I think helped. Because, you know, you open it, you're like, I think I might throw up, but I'm not one to throw up. And then the toilet bowl was so disgusting. I was like, thanks for the help.
Yeah.
Vomited. I'm so glad that your listeners, I hope you're listening to this on your lunch break.
Yeah.
Vomited so profusely that everyone in the garden could hear me and the party stopped after that. But that's one time I have thrown up drunk. And I think it was a Peter spirit being like, I'll fucking get you.
Yeah. I'll fucking get you. Also, the combination of weed and alcohol, you know, that's it might not have just been the drinking too much. It could actually still be the fact that you've never thrown up from drinking too much.
Yeah.
Cannot say the same for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I think life would be better if I was a throw up-y person.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, because when you're sick, but you look okay, this is the thing I struggle with. I'm like, I think I look fine. Every once in a while, Tom will be like, no, you look fucking rough. And I'm like, okay, good.
God, you look like shit.
Yeah. Sometimes you want to look like shit because you feel like shit. But yeah, I'm just not a throw up-y person.
Speaking of other things that we have.
Yeah.
So, your podcast, which is called
Neurodivergent Moments.
There we go. When you were speaking about your own neurodivergency, what are you speaking about?
What's my flavor?
What's your flavor?
My flavor is ADHD.
What else?
Diagnosed. That's the one. I got one and was like, I'll stop there. Thank you.
Yeah.
Not an overachiever on this end of the podcast. My partner is the one who figured it out. So Tom was doing a lot of reading online. I talk about this on stage and figured out that he might be autistic, to which I responded, don't be ridiculous. You're not autistic. You're just English. And bad response. Bad girlfriend. And he did. He got assessed and it turned out he was autistic and he encouraged me to get assessed for ADHD, which I point blank refused. And we got into screaming match. This is during the pandemic. We lost parents. We're very volatile.
Oh, yeah.
Screaming match over the maybe I'm ADHD. I might have gone overboard with saying no. And I think it wound it up with me crying on the floor. And he was like, just get tested because your whole life you've been, ever since I've known you, you've always been upset that you can't do X, Y, and Z. And he's like, get tested because if you know that this is it, then you finally know and you have an answer. And if you don't, maybe it'll be something else. But he's like, when are you going to find out? Are you going to wait till you're 40? Are you going to wait till you're 50? When are you going to? So I bit the bullet and I got the assessment and I went in telling the doctor, I was like, I don't know if I have it. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. I'm happy however this comes out. And they gave me all the questions and the guy was like, oh yeah, you got it. So when? And
a certificate on the wall.
Yeah, but I will say I'm so glad I did because it does answer a lot of questions.
Yeah.
As you know, as someone with some diagnosis under your belt. And yeah, I wouldn't have done it had Tom not pushed for it.
Yeah.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Because my parents got me tested for learning disabilities when I was a kid.
Mm.
And the diagnosis was everything's fine. She's just a bit slow. And I have taken, I was in the second grade, and I have taken this on as my identity for my entire life, that I'm just a bit slow, yeah. Just a bit slow. To a point where my partner will sometimes be like, you're slow, but that's okay.
Mm.
He said this to me for years. 4 years he's said this to me, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, I'm so, that's okay.
Mm.
And it was only like within the couple years, I think, like since getting the ADHD diagnosis, he meant that I walk slower than him. And like, for years, I thought he meant I'm slow, like in the head, like on the uptake, like it takes me a little while. And he's like, no, I mean, you walk slow. You thought I've been calling. And I was like, yep, I'm slow and that's okay.
Yep.
Tom accepts me for who I am.
Yeah.
And he was just like mortified. He's like, you're smart. We couldn't keep up with each other if you weren't also smart. And I'm like, nope, I'm slow and that's okay.
Oh.
And I'm not slow. I have ADHD. In fact, I'm very fast.
My thoughts
very
are very fast.
Fast. My thoughts are very fast.
Yeah.
27 conversations going on in my head at once.
It's really, I love discussing getting a diagnosis on the podcast because it is my belief that it's a very powerful thing to do. I had a conversation with someone who shall remain nameless, who talked about how dangerous it is to get a diagnosis because of the label that gets attached to you and how...
Parent with a kid who might have an issue?
No.
Because those are always the ones who are I think my kid might have on, but I don't want to get them diagnosed because then they'll have a label. They'll get a free laptop.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Fucking do it. Do you want a laptop? Good.
Yeah.
But it was this thing about going, they were like, I have a friend who got diagnosed with bipolar. They said it was the worst thing because then they had to tell everyone that they were bipolar. I was like, that's not the rule. Like, you don't get the diagnosis, then you get given a bunch of fucking business cards that you have to, like, hand out to people as you meet them, being like, hi, I'm Emily. I've got CPTSD, ADHD, and just have you turn over, then you'll see that if you say these things to me, I might get really upset. So just know that before we enter into conversation. Okay, thanks very much. Like, that's not the fucking rule. It is purely for you.
Yeah.
Similarly with ADHD, because... we discussed with Harriet Kemsley that her husband has borderline personality.
Mm-hmm.
Borderline personality is very, very commonly diagnosed in women. Is often goes completely missed in men.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of men in the prison system have borderline personality, but it goes undiagnosed. With ADHD, a lot in men, in women, it just goes undiagnosed. If a child, a male child, cis male child, is being hyperactive, you know, the rest of it, or, you know, whatever that they think the pure signs of ADHD. And my eldest brother, when I told him I had ADHD, he went, no, you don't. Having ADHD is having ants in your pants. And I was like, well, that's fucking stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
You idiot. He doesn't listen to this. Like, but with girls, a lot of the time, with women, at a young age, you get called slow. Or dreamy, or
talkative,
distracted, whatever the fuck it is. And they always thought that I was stupid when I was little. So I'm just like, what? I'm the smartest people I know. and it growing up thinking that you're slow, because I had exactly the same thing. I remember being put into like lower sets at school and being told that I just wasn't a fast learner.
Mm-hmm.
Bollocks. Like, it's total fucking bollocks.
I was slow enough to not realize that being pulled out of class to go to the smaller room was a problem. I was slow enough to be like, what do you mean I get to go hang out with Mrs. Woods and read out loud? This sounds freaking great.
Fucking great.
I did have that thing. In America, there was this system called TAG, talented and gifted. So if the students, we have these standardized tests. If the students test well on the standardized test, they get into TAG. And if you're into TAG, you get to go on field trips without the rest of the school to like the Wright-Patterson Air Force Museum, stuff like that.
Which is what every nine-year-old wants to do.
Which is what every nine-year-old wants. And all of my friends were in the talented and gifted group, but I never got into it. And I knew that they were getting pulled out to go do the fun stuff. Mm. I knew I was sometimes pulled out because I read a little slow. But I never saw me getting pulled out as like an embarrassment. But I saw the fact that I didn't get pulled out with my friends. Mm. That was my thing. Mm. And apparently, I will say this. So I got tested in the second grade when I was diagnosed slow. And it was my dad who was like, we got to get Abigail tested. Something's wrong. And apparently we had some standardized tests going on at the second grade. We love standardized tests in America.
When you said standardized tests, I was like, the amount of times I've heard that.
We don't even know what they are, but they're standardized tests. You fill in bubbles and you take a whole year of school to learn how to take the test. Yeah. You don't actually learn the test. Just when in doubt, circle C. Mm. But...
standardized test.
My teacher at the time, Mrs. Amick, a wonderful woman, I'll shout her out, great teacher. I don't know if she's still with it. I hope she is. But she apparently pulled my test out to grade it, which you're not allowed to do, big no-no. Mm. And I got like 19 out of 20 questions right. Mm. And Mrs. Amick told my mother, she's like, you tell Greg there's nothing wrong with her. Mm. She got 19 out of 20 right. Even my TAG kids couldn't do that. However, there were 40 questions on the test. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't read fast enough to get through it. Fuck yeah. And so Mrs. Amick was the one who was like, she's not so.
Yeah.
And but I
thought this is the like Lifetime movie about ADHD. Yeah. Is that moment. Which is like we're hitting a good point in the movie there.
Yeah.
That's the bit that's gonna make people cry.
Yeah.
It's sad, and I hold quite a lot of anger for it. Yeah. Growing up, sort of being told that you're slow, you're not like, or that you can't do things. Mm. And there were some things in school that I was really amazing. This is niche and very boring school. I was amazing at Latin. I used to get like...
Et tu.
Yeah.
Not me. I don't know. And
et,
you?
Et tu, Brute.
Et tu, Brute.
I used to get like full marks in Latin. I was amazing at Latin. No idea why at the time. Now I know it's because of memory, because I've got this like really weird ADHD thing about, you know, with... You go like, I don't know where I just put my phone down, and then it will be in the fridge. But I can remember exactly what that person was wearing on the Tuesday afternoon that time in April because it was raining, and that coat came from Zara. And I know it came from Zara because my other friend had the exact same one and told me about it when we were having lunch at this place. She had pasta and I had avocado and toast. It would be like, it's shit like that. And you just grow up kind of feeling like you're a bit wrong and not good enough. And I remember all my school reports, this is how shit my school was. I didn't do a shred of work because I couldn't. I didn't know how, because I didn't want to. And also because I was just distracted the whole time when I was doing something else that I was more interested in. And somehow, and all my teachers would be like, oh, she works really hard. And I was like, well, you idiots. Well, how the fuck am I getting away with this? And it's because they weren't paying attention. But I think it's because I used to get really good grades in exams because I did all of the revision in the last 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, vroom, into this thing.
I did decently at school. The way I explain high school to people is, for me, it wasn't like an incredibly triggering time because I knew high school was what I had to do in order to go to college. And that was my ticket out of this.
This is my ticket out of this town.
Small town, potatoes.
This
town.
Is my ticket out of Ohio.
And so I basically did like the bare minimum, which for me made me a B student.
Yeah.
Bare minimum to get a good enough grades to get into the university I wanted to get out of school. But this, so I could do stuff at the last minute, throw it together, especially if it was like an oral report. And oh God, this makes me feel horrible to this day. So my younger sister is a year younger than me in school, and we're like 18 months apart, I think. And one year in the sixth grade, we had to do these reports where you would have to either present a report on either Egypt or Greece. There's two things we're studying. And the night before I was supposed to do it, I like cut a hole in a bed sheet, made myself a little collar, put a belt on it, and like walked into school and was like, I am Isis, the goddess of, and just like riffed this whole thing after reading like one thing in the Encyclopedia Britannica, because Wikipedia didn't exist yet, kids. And aced it, and my teacher was like, Abigail, can I actually film yours as an example of like someone doing one, a really good job? And I was like, of course. The following year, my little sister's in the same class, Allison, shy, not the public speaker of the family, spent weeks building this awesome diorama, or not a diorama, but like out of clay, this whole like city of Greece, built this whole thing, spent weeks. It was gorgeous. It was a work of art. She still does art to this day. And she got a C because she wasn't a good public speaker. And my mom always tells a story about how I just threw it together, was like one of the best. And Allison like got such a low grade because she just couldn't do the oral report part right. She did the work. She in weeks and weeks and weeks. And just because she wasn't good at public speaking, the teacher gave her a lower grade. And it haunts me to this day that like I got away with it and she actually, like, I feel guilty about it. It gives me cold chills just now.
Yeah.
Just thinking about it. Yeah. Allison, if you're listening, I'm still sorry.
Yeah. The like the planning, the actual like work and dedication that went into something.
Yeah.
And that just got shat on.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's awful. I mean, it's kind of amazing that you have that reaction rather than that most of us will be like, well, fuck you, Allison. Check me out of my sheet.
So bad. This is why you can't trust public speakers, politicians, stand-up comedians, self-help gurus, anyone who's like good in front of people and walks away and you're like, I feel like I learned a lot, but at the same time you can't pinpoint exactly what they said.
Podcast hosts,
we can't be trusted.
We really can't.
We're doing minimal work but have all the charisma, and that's how wars get started.
That is how wars get started. This is why it's so funny.
Don't vote for the candidate you want to have a beer with. Vote for the one who can't make eye contact but knows a lot about geopolitical issues.
And has built the diorama out of clay.
Out of clay. Spent weeks.
Weeks in advance.
Weeks in advance.
Not the one who's been like pizza for everyone.
Yeah.
But this is it's true. It's true that you cannot trust us. I teach pottery.
Oh, Allison works at a pottery place. She's a therapist, and she works at a pottery place now.
Okay, well, this is another time when I'm going to shit stand-up on Allison.
All right. Her pottery is great. She might be making me a mixing bowl for Christmas, which I'm very excited about.
She may or may not. I wandered into this pottery studio once off the street because it looked interesting, because I have ADHD. I did a bit of pottery there that day because the man who ran the place said, you look sad. And I said, how much time you got? And he said, do some pottery. And I did. And he went, oh, you're quite good at this. Do you want a job? And I went, okay. And so now I teach pottery. I have no idea what I'm doing.
How long have you been doing pottery for?
Like just under a year.
Okay, Allison volunteers at the pottery place. Did a fine arts degree. It's been making pottery. And I'm 90% sure she doesn't teach it.
Yeah.
She'll oversee people, but mostly she's like making like the leftover clay be like workable clay again. And because she volunteers there, she gets to be in the studio for free. But
I get paid to do this shit. I get paid. And the only reason I'm still there is because I talk with such confidence that people believe what I'm saying.
Oh my God.
It is Literally, you were exactly like, do not trust anyone who is good at being in front
of people. Like, all you do is this, and you've thrown it on the wheel crooked, so you're like literally,
and
you
then go,
can't
oh
throw,
man,
and
you fucked that up. Sorry, nothing I can do. I'm the teacher. Go with God. Like,
yeah. You're like, it's not about the end result, because I can't. I can't make it look good either, kids. That it's about the journey.
Exactly.
What is the clay saying to you? What is the clay saying to you? When there is not a definitive answer, these are the people you don't trust. It's us. It's us. This is who you don't trust.
Do you know what
Go
I said?
Go with your gut is the dumbest piece of advice anyone can give someone else. I'm sick. Should I do my show? Go with your gut is fucking I want your commission. Do the show. Go with your gut. Fuck it.
It is. That is exactly. Every single lesson, I go, sometimes the wheel tells you what it wants to make.
No, it doesn't.
No, it fucking doesn't. There is a very particular way to do it. I just can't teach it because I don't know anything about fucking pottery, and somehow I'm teaching it.
Next time Allison comes to visit, we're coming to your pottery studio and taking She'll your class. Like- and I just want Allison just in the back, just fully making like a Ming vase. I think that's something fancy.
Yeah.
And like just pulling up this, and you're just like, sometimes it wants you, and she's just like perfectly making this thing.
Yeah.
And she just puts it away and goes, that was a choice. Yeah, and then makes something else.
Look at the wheels. It's the wheels world. We're all just living in it. Look at this. No, absolute fucking horseshit. There is no world in which this should be happening. But because I can distract people with being like, funny!
Yeah.
No one cares.
No.
I'm getting paid to do this shit. Not only that, I actually said I was like, I'm not getting paid enough.
It's
so funny. We have discussed many, many things. Neurodivergence, vomiting, things like that. What are the things about you that you genuinely really love and cherish?
What I really love and cherish, well, you know, I was thinking about this when I wasn't taking a shower today. I say that because I've been festering for 2 days. Today was shower day. Going to wash my hair.
Nice.
Hot water not working. So if I'm making this studio smell, I've been thinking about this the whole fucking time. I've like literally I'm like desperately need a shower. I did take a horse bath, but
a horse bath.
That's like a bird bath when you just kind of like wipe the bits down.
Pits, tits, and naughty bits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Didn't do the tits. I always forget about them. How? I don't know. The point is, I think sometimes we can get really down. I'll speak for myself. I can get down on myself and my own career. I'm very career driven as someone who opted not to have children and can't have pets. I do have plants now, so I am approaching 40. But I should be here. I should be there. And the one thing that I always try to go back to is like, I live in central London and get paid to make people laugh. And I'm from Greenville, Ohio, where a lot of people I graduated with stayed within the area or town of which I live and maybe have never even left the country. Some of them don't have passports.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to travel all over the world doing comedy. Mm. And I am so proud that I accidentally wound up living in London, which is totally an ADHD thing. It's like, how did you get here? I saw an opportunity. I just went. Now I live in London.
Here we go. I just kind of wandered in because it looked interesting.
Yeah. I've been here now for 9 years. And it's just like, I can't believe that this is my life sometimes.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I like that. Like, I can just on an afternoon walk and do a podcast and go home. And hopefully my hot water works. Mm. But yeah. A thing I love about myself is where I've wound up.
Yeah.
And even though it might not be everything I've ever dreamed it would be when I was a kid, it is a very special place. And I feel very lucky to be here.
That's a really, really fantastic one. I don't often like saying thank you for sharing that. But yeah, actually, I think that's really good. Thank you for sharing that. Because we sort of look at ourselves and our lives and like you said, maybe look at how we thought it would be when we were a kid. And then, but actually if you take a step back and survey everything that's going on and go, actually what you've achieved is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. I can't remember. There's an essay that David Sedaris did. I think it was like a commencement speech he gave at like a very fancy university, one of the Ivy Leagues. But the whole joke of it was about clairvoyance and going to a medium or something like that. And I just remember this one line from it is like, this is why mediums and fortune tellers don't work, because they can't answer the question, how did I wind up here? Which is like, as we get, my birthday's in a couple days, so I'm in crisis. But as we get older, as our lives progress, like all those plans you had when you were a young person, maybe some of them have come true, maybe some of them haven't. But if they all did, then you wouldn't have this adventure of like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. I think that's an important thing to look back on is like, how did I wind up in this black box studio with
utterly extraordinary. I really like that. That one's made me really happy. Thank you very much. We have a portion of the podcast that we like to call thank you letters, where we ask you to express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or one of all three, but someone, somewhere, something for which you are grateful.
Well, since we've already talked about her, I'll thank my little sister, Allison, who's grown up. Like, I just talk about her like she's still a child. She's a year younger than me. She's a therapist. she's the one I call the most. Yeah. But in all seriously, like Allison is someone who has grown up to be a confidant of mine, someone I talk to a lot, which I'm not as close with my other siblings. Not that there's anything wrong with them or that.
No.
But, and also, like, as someone who thinks so much about their career and struggles making hobbies, like, my sister got this degree in therapy, and she does that. She does art and play therapy primarily with children. And then obviously the pandemic happened. She had to change the way she did her practice. She's still doing her practice. But at the same time, she decided to volunteer at this studio to, and she's making all this pottery just for her, just for fun. She started to work at a travel bookstore in her town just to work at, you know what I mean? And she could be putting it all into her career as a therapist, but she's decided that she wants to dot her life around so she has variety and adventure and freedom. And I think she's just an ace person and a fabulous human. So thank you, Allie. You inspire me.
I love that as well.
She might be the only one who listens to this too, so it seems worth it.
The only one, including everybody. Thank you, Agus. Is there anything that you are up to at the moment that you would like to talk about?
Well, I do have my own podcast, Neurodivergent Moments, that I co-host with Joe Wells, who's a hilarious person, and I highly recommend you get Joe on this podcast.
Let's do that.
And we talk to other neurodivergent people about those little moments in life that make us go, oh, my brain might work differently. So we've just recorded all the them for this season. So, but we'll definitely get you on season, whatever
I'd
next season.
I'd love to. As a neurodivergent person myself, I would absolutely love to talk about that.
I now have a weird spreadsheet of anyone who says they're neurodivergent. I'm like,
oh my God, straight away.
Yeah. Because it's that thing of like, I've emailed people being like, you have ADHD. And they're like, no.
Excuse
and
me?
I'm like, oh, this is weird. Now you can't be on my podcast. But like,
it is actually a little bit like we said with Helen Bauer with Why Do You Think You Got No Friends? When you get an email going, podcast, why do you think you got no friends, we think you'd be perfect. Going, neurodivergent, you.
Yeah. Yeah.
My love.
Yeah. Which is just, people are like, I don't have it. I'm like, you should get tested.
Yeah. But that is brilliant. I shall link all of this below. Everybody, please go and listen. I will also link Instagram and the rest of it. But thank you so much for coming to this lovely studio in Camden today. We're very, very happy.
Thanks.
To have you.
Oh, can I just say real quick, if you're listening and if you want to follow me on Instagram specifically, at Abigailia because my management really wants me to have 10,000 followers and I haven't done that yet because
Banging.
I'm busy not caring.
Well, that's sweet K.
Yeah, yeah. So if you guys could just do that for me so I can stop like thinking I should have 10,000 followers. If it just appears, then I don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
I think if all your followers follow me, I'll reach over 10,000.
Yeah.
No pressure, guys.
No pressure. No pressure. But just, you know, do a good thing this Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, you can also troll my Instagram and find photos of my younger sister, too. So then you can be like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's the one who's got their head on straight.
Yeah.
And then Abigail is the one who clearly dyed her hair blue.
Yeah.
Instead of getting a personality.
Yeah. Sorry,
it's not true. I have all the personalities.
No. It's got so many personalities. Like most of my identity is like wearing a hat.
Yeah,
that's like 90% of it. She wears a cap.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool girl. But thank you so much. Yes, I'll link everything.
On.
Let's get Abigail's 10K followers.
Yeah.
That is the lesson you should take away from today.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.